We're in a great series as we're looking at the Christmas time here at Olive Baptist Church. Pastor last week talked about the prophecy of Christmas. Today I'm going to attempt to talk about and share with you from God's Word the parents of Christmas, the parents of Christmas. Pastor will return to the pulpit next week and we'll continue this series. Now many of you will understand and know from Scripture the parents of Christmas is Mary and Joseph. But there's so many lessons that you and I can learn from this humble couple who together obeyed the Word of God through an angel. And I pray today as we look into God's Word, I want to welcome our Warrington campus online. Thank you so much for joining us and praise God for what He is doing there amidst the Westside community. And our praise are with you as you worship today. And those of you watching online, I pray that you'll engage to what God is teaching us today. The prophet Micah has already prophesied in Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2. Micah told us in the Old Testament, the baby is coming. Not only the baby is coming, he is going to be the Savior. Not only is going to be the Savior, he also gave the town where Jesus will be born in Bethlehem. In Bethlehem. And 400 or a couple hundred years have passed by, and I think people are in that generation, that culture, has forgotten about this Messiah that was supposed to come. Life was being lived, and hope was forgotten. Until that very night, it was a holy night. I don't necessarily think it was a silent night, and you will hear later on why I don't think so. I mean, if Mary and Joseph want to spend a night at the inn, and Joseph did not make reservations, it's not going to be a silent night. You know that. So it's not a silent night, it's a holy night. And so Scripture teaches us, the parents of Jesus, how the angel of the Lord approached Joseph and how the angel of the Lord approached Mary, what were the response was. Now you know, if you have to be obedient, there's a journey in obedience. The first part of your journey is, what is your response to the command? The second part of your obedience is, what are the trials that you will have to go through? And the third part of your obedience is, what is the outcome of my obedience? Your response, the trials, the outcome. And so when we look at the parents of Jesus, we're going to paint a picture of obedience from these Mary and Joseph, humble people, and how God worked in their hearts and how they responded to this great call to carry and bring forth Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world. Oh, what love my God would bring you down to earth. What king would take a low and lonely birth? Yet to this dark and broken place you came to sleep beneath the stars that you have made. Jesus is coming. And Matthew records for us in Matthew chapter 1 for our understanding of God's word. Let me read Matthew chapter 1 verse number 18 and following of how the angel of the Lord approached Joseph and how Joseph responded. This is the word of God. Matthew chapter 1 verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her name to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. How about that dream? All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph, listen to the response, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. I think you would agree with me, that's radical obedience, right? That's radical obedience, yes. Imagine you getting a dream and the angel of the Lord is speaking to you. You get up and you act in this way. Radical obedience. And then you know in Luke chapter 1, and in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 26 and following, the angel of the Lord appears to Mary. The writer Luke, he writes, and this is what Mary's response was in verse number 37 of chapter 1 and verse number 38. Luke chapter 1, verse 37, 38. This is what the Bible teaches us. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said these words, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel of the Lord departed her. So you know the story of how the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph. And we heard about the story of how the angel of the Lord appeared to Mary. And when you look at this story, we see glory to God in the highest. Joy, great joy to us, great glory to our God. And as we look at the story, let us consider, my friends today, let us consider the journey of obedience to the parents of Jesus. The journey of obedience to the parents of Jesus. As I alluded to early on, there's three aspects of obedience. Number one is your response. Number two is your trials. And number three is your outcome. In whatever you respond to, that's where the three stages, the three aspects of your obedience will come out and will show yourself. The first thing we see in the account of the parents of Jesus is when the angel of the Lord appeared Joseph, and when the angel of the Lord appeared Mary, confidence in Nazareth. They had confidence in Nazareth and they said, yes. Without unwavering, they said, yes. They were unexpected people, right? Unexpected people. Don't you get amazed of how God comes to the least expected people of us to do his work? A resounding yes. And when the angel of the Lord approached Mary and the angel of the Lord approached Joseph, they had such confidence in being obedient to the Lord via the angel's message. And when the angel said, go, and Joseph got up and he went. And when the angel said to Mary, she said, what do you say? I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. A resounding yes. Because let me remind you that Joseph obeyed without any reservation, without any doubt. He knew what the word of the Lord came through the angel. He knew it. How did he know it? He heard what the prophecies were saying. So he was in tune with God's word. Mary said, how do I know I am the servant of the Lord? Mary understood what the Old Testament said about the prophecy of Micah, that he is coming and he will be born from a virgin. And Mary is like, I am the servant. You mean I am chosen? It is a resounding, confident, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. When Mary responded, she showed strong faith in the God that she knows. You know, you and I, when we have to respond to obedience, there's a lot of challenges that comes in responding in obedience. Let me just highlight three challenges that you and I face and we cannot give our yes to God. I'll just share three. It's a whole other sermon series. I'll just allude to it very quickly. These are the three things that I believe that you cannot give your yes to God. Number one, you do not give your yes to God because you don't have an intimate relationship with God. You lack intimacy with God. You don't understand who God is. You don't understand how big he is. And when God is calling you, you do not give God your yes because you lack intimacy with God. The second struggle that you and I have for obedience to God is this. We lack obedience to say yes to God is because the voice of self is 10 times louder than the voice of God. You believe yourself more than what you believe what God says. You believe, I cannot do it. You believe, who am I? You believe, I am weak. You believe, I cannot talk. You believe, I cannot be a wise steward. You believe, I cannot love. So you rob yourself of saying yes to the call of God because you listen to self, and the voice of self is becoming 10 times louder than the voice of God. So there's three struggles in obedience. Number one, you lack intimacy with God. Number two, the voice of self is 10 times louder than the voice of God. But number three is this, listen to me carefully. You and I cannot give our yes to God because we already given our yes to Satan. We have believed in the lies of the enemy. Sin became our daily bread. Sin has become so enticing that you and I cannot live without it. So when God is calling you to use it, you struggle to say, God, yes, because you already given your yes to Satan. It's not too late, my friend, to stop in your tracks right now. And the enemy, Satan, is lying to you that you cannot say yes to God because you said yes to me. I am here to remind you today through the Word of God, Jesus came so that you can say yes to Him. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father Almighty. So I read the story of how Mary and Joseph said yes. Joseph, he was so intimate with God, he had no reservation, yes, Lord. Mary, she was so in tune with God, a woman of strong faith, yes, Lord, do as you want in my life. Because listen to this, great moves of God are usually preceded by simple acts of obedience. Great moves of God are usually preceded by simple acts of obedience. When you begin to say, yes, Lord, not I, but you, Lord. When you begin to say, yes, I am weak, but you are strong, Lord. When you begin to say, yes, Lord, I'll be in touch with you because you know the plans that you have for me, Lord. So today, if you have given your yes to Satan, take your yes back and give it to Jesus. We call that repentance. We call that take away. We call that I want to be reconciled to my God. I'm tired of you lying that I cannot make it. I want to take all my energy that has given to Satan. I want to take all of it and I want to give it to Jesus. Because Jesus gives me life. Satan gives me death. And you move your allegiance to Jesus Christ. We call that repentance, turning away and finding your true master. His name is Jesus Christ. So I look at the story and I look at the simple acts of obedience of Mary and Joseph, true parents of Jesus. Now let me speak to the parents for a little bit. Parents who do not teach their children to obey will prepare them for a life out of step with the Word of God. Parents have the greatest opportunity to model conviction, to model calling, and to model the Great Commission right there in your living room by saying yes to Jesus. Too often we want to negotiate with Jesus. I wish Jesus had the opportunity to negotiate the death on the cross. He did not. So the parents of Jesus, imagine being the parents of Jesus. I think Jesus will give you more time out than you would give him. All right? And then you have an unbelieving brother named James. That's a whole other subject altogether. So imagine now you are raising your children in the ways of the Lord, but your yes is not with Jesus. Your yes is with something else or someone else, and you want to point your children to Jesus. Parents, it starts by saying yes to Jesus. The birth of Jesus Christ, that God chose Joseph and Mary, in their obedience in saying yes, we have the Christmas story rolling. Chapter 1 is rolling. Parents, if you do not say yes, you are going to help your children live out of step with God's word. And so here at Olive Baptist Church, starting next year, we are focusing on connection groups, how we can engage our parents, engaging parents in practical gospel-centered principles, how you can raise your kids and what are your roles in your home. We're going to talk about engaging marriage, how you and your spouse can say yes, starting at the altar. So stay tuned for 2020 of how our parents can know their roles in the home, and it starts by saying yes. Everybody wants to make a difference in this world. Everyone wants to make a difference in this world. It all starts with saying yes to God. It all starts by saying yes to God. But let me throw a question there. What are you saying yes to? Is it glorifying God? Is your yes qualified by, yes, I am the servant of the Lord? Or is your yes saying, yes, I need to hide away from my church? Where is your yes? Is your allegiance to the enemy? What are you saying yes to? And what are you saying no to? The parents of Jesus Christ bring such a strong, strong lesson of obedience. They didn't say no, they said yes. Well, I know of someone in the Old Testament who said no. His name was Jonah. Jonah said no. I do not want to go to Nineveh. Well, Jonah took the scenic route. He went to SeaWorld. He enjoyed 3 days in SeaWorld. And then he got spewed out in Nineveh. You don't want that. You don't want the scenic route. You don't want to be in the pit for 3 days. You don't want that. Just say yes to Jesus and say no to Satan. You have given Satan too much credit. You have given Satan too much points. It's time now to turn to Jesus. He's returned to the King and give him your yes. I have friends in this church, and whenever there's a capital campaign, they commit to give to the campaign. So this couple, they will come to the altar, and they just started their business, and pastor put the call, and they went on their knees and said, yes, Lord, we will commit. Don't know where it's coming from, but yes, Lord, we will commit. I'll tell you that story as we go along. So the road to Nazareth, from Nazareth to Jerusalem, is the obedience, and it's taking its full course. It started by saying yes. Warrington campus, I got John Lowe and Mike Dimmick and Jamie there. Won't you do something really cool for me? Won't you stand up, entire Warrington campus? Yes, stand up. Stand up, look around you. Look around the pews at our Warrington campus. What do you see? What do you see as this campus? Let's give them a round of applause as they're watching. Let's make a big noise. Warrington campus, you are there shining the light of the gospel on the west side of town because you decided to say yes. Thank you. It's when we say yes, our journey of obedience begins. Well, you can say no, and there's a lot of toll roads on saying no. You don't want that. Not only there was in the parents of Jesus, there was confidence in Nazareth. They said yes. There was despair and desperation in Bethlehem. they asked, why? If you give your response and say yes to Jesus, there's going to be some trials coming down your path. And in your despair and desperation, oftentimes we ask, why, Lord? Why? Picture this. Mary and Joseph on the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem. They said yes in confidence in Nazareth. Now they're on the way to Bethlehem, and she's pregnant, and she's due really soon. There was a census, and it's the worst time to travel because at that time, everyone's traveling because of the census. And everyone's traveling, and so they come to the inn, and there's no room in the inn. Mary looks at Joseph, and Joseph said, I tried to book online. They did not tell me it was busy online. I think then it was a silent night. He was just silent. Despair and desperation. How many of you in this room today and you watching online, when you said yes to Jesus, you got stuck and you said, but Jesus, why this is happening? I was obedient to you. I said yes. But why am I going through this trial? How many of you with me? Amen? And then we begin to question the sovereignty of God. God, I heard your voice. You said move, and I moved. I heard your voice. You said, that's my partner. Yes, I heard the voice of God. Now why this trial? Now let me remind you what's going on here. Joseph and Mary heard that Jesus Christ is coming, and God chose Mary and Joseph. Imagine the thought of Joseph. God, you've sent the angel of the Lord to speak to me. Mary, who's a virgin, is with child. I mean, from the Old Testament prophecy, it's a couple hundred years, couple centuries. Surely you had enough time to book out the penthouse at the inn. Did you forget about me? Did you forget about me? I'm in despair. I'm in desperation. You can do all these big things, and stars are in place, and the universe is in place, but here am I sitting with cancer. Can't you hear me? Yeah, my marriage is in ruins. Can't you hear me? That's when Mary and Joseph finally realize it's not about me. It's about Jesus. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. And I want you today on this Christmas season to turn your why into worship and to turn your turmoil into trust, because God has a bigger plan for you that you know not of. If you say yes to Jesus, God isn't always leading us to the safest route forward, but He's leading us to the one where you and I will grow the most. Listen to these words carefully. Don't question why, God. Just worship. Just worship. Because God isn't always leading us to the safest route forward, but to the one where you will grow the most. He's going to lead you there. He's going to make you pray like never before. He's going to make you trust like never before. He's going to make you worship in tears so that you will grow and you will grow and you will grow and you'll go closer to Jesus. And I know what you're going through. God, you said in your word, I will always be with you. And I said yes to you. Why am I going through? You are going through because you need to count it all joy, my brother and my sister, because God is able. So imagine the audience looking at two servants of the Most High God. Cannot get a room, in despair and desperation. Let me remind you, when you are in despair and desperation, God wants to bless you. And throughout the pages of Scripture, God blesses you through answered prayer. Listen to the Word of God. As you turn the pages of the Word of God, God wants to bless you. In this dispensation, He wants to bless you through answered prayer. He wants to bless you. But He wants you to come to Him through prayer. Because if God met every one of our needs in this room today and in Warrington campus, there's no need to wake up tomorrow and trust. They were just ordinary people having ordinary struggles. In confidence in Nazareth, they said, "Yes, Lord." But then they come over 100 miles to Bethlehem in despair and desperation to ask, "Why, Lord? Why? Why?" I'll tell you why. Breakthrough happens when you and I face the most resistance. That's when breakthrough comes. Breakthrough comes when you and I face the most resistance. So I got news for you. While you are waiting for a room in the inn, or while you are waiting today, my friends, for the door to open, I invite you, let's worship the Lord in the hallway while the door is not even open. Because when the door is open, worship will not be foreign to you. You will already be worshiping through that open door. Worship the Lord in your hallway before the door is open, because when the door is open, worship won't be foreign to you. A.W. Tozer said it best. If worship is boring to you, you're not ready for heaven. There's a lot of worship in heaven. So keep on worshiping. Mary and Joseph said yes in confidence in Nazareth. Then they come to Bethlehem and ask why. But the third part, the outcome of their obedience, is there's rejoicing at the manger. There's rejoicing at the manger. When they had confidence in Nazareth, they said yes. When they had despair and desperation in Bethlehem, they said why. But with a big exclamation in the manger, there's an hallelujah, glory to God in the highest. The most unexpected place. The most unexpected place. Now, culture teaches us that every babe is wrapped with cloth. But not every baby lies in the manger. So why the manger? The manger was a sign. This is why the manger. Because we might tremble to approach a throne, but we cannot fear to approach a manger. Never could there be a more approachable Jesus than He, a babe that lies in a common manger. That teaches me something, that Jesus is good for you and Jesus is good for me. Imagine, think with me, Jesus, the infinite, became an infant. And while the infinite became an infant, that little babe in the manger, he still had the stars in place and the universe still in place, while baby Jesus lies in a manger. The stars are in place, the universe is in place, while the infinite became an infant crying in the manger. With great humility, this Jesus Christ came. And He lies there in the manger. And as He lays in the manger, I want to encourage you on this Christmas season. Jesus was born of a virgin lying in the manger, but that is not the gospel. It's the beginning of the gospel. It's the beginning of the gospel. So does that mean if you come to church on Christmas, you are saved? You got it wrong. The baby that lies in the manger is the beginning of the gospel. It's not the entire gospel. Because He lay in the manger in humility. John quoted early on. He came in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 7 with utmost humility. He emptied himself, took on the place of a man. He lay in the manger in humility. This is the gospel. He died on the cross in humiliation. Everyone wants to substitute the gospel. There is no substitute to the gospel. Jesus Christ came, the true Son of God, in humility, sinless, in the manger. Romans 5:8 tells us this, but God demonstrates his own love to us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the biggest story in this Christmas season, Jesus Christ lay in the manger in humility, and he died on the cross in humiliation. This infinite baby lying in the manger. The question rings out, will you say yes to him? Will you say yes to him? Or is your why list so long? Only if God comes through with all my whys, then I would say yes. Well, I got news for you. Your yes will remove all your whys. Every time we say, well, I'm not ready as yet. Well, you will never be ready. You'll never have every question answered. The first step is saying yes to Jesus. Amen. So I know you have a why. Why this, Lord? Why this, Lord? Why pain, Lord? Why disease, Lord? Why war, Lord? Why? Why sin, Lord? Can I ask you to turn your why into worship? Can I ask you to turn your turmoil into trust? Opportunity comes dressed in coveralls. You never knew what God can bring from a manger. And because you said yes to God, you think you and I deserve a penthouse. No, we don't. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. Jesus loves to borrow stuff. Always. He always borrows stuff. He borrowed the manger. He borrowed the manger. Later on, he is all grown up. He wants to ride into Bethlehem. He borrows a donkey. You know what I'm saying? Later on, he goes, he wants to have dinner in the upper room. He borrows somebody else's dining room. John chapter 13. Later on, he goes, he dies, he borrowed somebody else's tomb. He gave it back. Bring your donkey over here. What do you have that Jesus wants to borrow from you? He's wanting you to say yes. He's wanting you to say yes. John is coming to play. The parents of Jesus just said yes. Warrington campus, can you say yes? Take back that yes that you gave to Satan. Take it back. He's going to rob you. He's going to steal from you. He's going to destroy you. Take that yes. Give it to Jesus. He's going to give you a life. He's going to give you life more abundantly.